Today is entitled Eternal Separation. Eternal Separation. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10, it says, "And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who do not know God and on those who refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord and from his glorious power. When he comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you, for you believed what we told you about him." There is coming a day of eternal separation. Now, when we say eternal separation, the first thing most of us think about is those who are going to hell. Right? Or at least that's the way I think. Eternal separation, we think about those who are going to hell, to the lake of fire. Those who will be eternally separated from God. But there's also a flip side to this. Even now, God is preparing the believers on earth for eternal separation. You have to understand that this works both ways, for the believer and for the unbeliever. We are being prepared for eternal separation. For the unbeliever, when you leave this world and go into eternity, you will be separated eternally from all that is of God. And for the believer, when you go into eternity one day, you will be separated eternally from all that is evil. Hallelujah. 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 Some of you are going through some fierce battles today. Some of you have allowed the devil to gain ground in your life. But if you hold on to the faith in Jesus Christ, one day this fight will be done and over with, and you will be in the presence of the Lord for eternity, never to be tempted, never to go through trials or tribulations ever again. Hallelujah. That is the reward, to forever be in his glory. But to those who do not believe, forever to be eternally separated from all that is of God. In John 17:3, Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you." He's talking to the Father. He says, "This is eternal life, that the people may know you, Father." He says, "The only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." You see, that is where the key to eternal life is. There is eternal life and there is eternal damnation. Write that down if you need to. There is eternal life and there is eternal damnation. And to those he says, this is eternal life. This is the way to being forever in the presence of God for eternity. You see, we are in a temporary situation making eternal decisions. If we're not willing to live for God now, we'll never be willing to live for God for eternity. You see, to live for God is to say no to self. To live for God, to live for eternity, is to be able now to train yourself now to live for the kingdom of God, even though you're not fully in it just yet. This is eternal life, that we may know him and know Jesus, still in this temporary situation. Revelation 21, 4 through 5 says this, "And God will wipe every tear away from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And then he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful. One day, church, everything for you will be new in eternity. One day, the devil will never be heard of again. Sin will never be heard of again. Death, pain, aches, pains, moaning and groaning, sighs and woe to me. None of those things will ever exist, will ever fall upon your body, will ever fall upon your ear, upon your heart, ever again. Never, ever, ever. I believe this year I've shed more tears for loved ones than I ever have in my life. And though we believe and walk by faith, I believe that the true people of God are afflicted with many sorrows today. What I have noticed in my life, especially this year, and I said that this would be a year of great bloodshed, and people thought that that may be in the physical, but I'm speaking in the spiritual as well. And this has been a year of great warfare. This has been a year of great tribulation. A lot of blood, spiritually speaking, has been spilled amongst the body of Christ worldwide. And I felt this last year in November, that if the Lord tarries, that this coming year would be a year of great bloodshed. And instead of allowing the blood of Jesus to continually to fall upon us, we have said no to the blood of Christ, so many Christians, and we have been willing to just shed our own blood once again. To go through this in our own human reasoning, in our own understanding, and apart from the Spirit and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, because of that, so many of God's people have brought great pain upon themselves. They've separated themselves from the things of God because they said yes to the temptations of flesh and no to the things of God. And it's not over yet. There are so many believers worldwide that are being uprooted, that are losing their places. They're not having the heart of Esther. They're not having the heart of Gideon, where God sifted through the armies, where Mordecai told Esther, if you don't do this, somebody else will do it. These people, the Bible says in 1 John that they were once amongst us, but they went away from us. And it's because the enticing of the spirit of Antichrist in this world. He knows how to appeal to the heart. And if your heart is still alive, then we're in trouble, because we must be dead to ourselves and alive to Christ. This is why so many Bible-believing churches are becoming more and more empty. And what does that mean, Bible-believing churches are becoming empty? It means that because people are not willing to hear the truth any longer. People are not willing to live by the truth any longer. And that is why Bible-believing churches are becoming more and more empty. Not because that the people there are doing something wrong. No, they're not. But it's because the love of many is growing cold because of the increase in wickedness in this world. And they're saying no. They're saying no to the truth. Because look, the truth will set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And there are a lot of people that have confessed to be Christians that are getting enslaved and being in bondage all over again. And this is heartbreaking, because it's like trampling on the blood of Christ all over again. This could be so discouraging, because we see what is happening in the world today. Pastor Prabhakar shared with me what he's going through in India. And it's great afflictions over there. I cannot even imagine what's happening in other nations, third world countries, how the churches are going through such fierce bloodshed. And I look at across this great land of America, a land that I love, and so many of God's people are being uprooted. They're being distracted. They're busy by the things of this world. They're focused on things that are more important. You know why I come to church? Because I love Jesus. That's why I come to church. Because I love Jesus. And Jesus loves the people. And therefore, Lord Jesus, how can I too serve the people? That is what true Christianity is all about. And if you're not serving the people of God, you're not serving Jesus. That's just the way it is. I will not apologize for the things that I have said. People have been offended because they feel that their Christianity is a certain type of way where they could just come to church when they feel like it and they could do what they want to do when it's convenient for them. That is not biblical Christianity. Biblical Christianity means to suffer, to sacrifice, because that's what Jesus said. If anyone wants to be my disciple, they must humble themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me daily. And you know what it means to pick up your cross? You look at what Jesus did when he picked up his cross. He died on that cross. And you too must die to the things of this world to follow Jesus. But if you're so focused on your job, on getting this done and getting that done, and paying attention to the sicknesses and afflictions that have been attacking you, do you think this took God by surprise? This was given to you to test you. But instead, you've turned it into a temptation and you've caused yourself to become uprooted. And this brings no glory to God. If you're struggling with alcoholism, if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with a heart of gossip, if you're struggling with lust, if you're struggling with a lying tongue, if you're struggling with anything, guys, today is the day to find salvation. Today. You die to it. You give it to Jesus Christ. You repent of your sins. Because this is what it means to live in light of eternity. Are the things you're living for today worth Christ dying for? I look across this great nation and I see so many talented people, anointed people of God, who no longer want to have anything to do with Jesus or the church. They've walked away. Some I know, some I don't know. We all know what we're talking about here. I believe Jesus is worth everything. I believe that we are so close, as Miss Faye once told me last week, we're so close. We're so close. And this is not, it never has been, but this is definitely not the time to be playing with the things of hell. Because you see, God never told us that this life would be worry-free and pain-free and blood-free. But God has told us that in eternity, there will be no more tears. There will be no more death. And so when we live for what is to come, that's called faith. And we live by faith. So whatever happens in this world, let it happen, Lord. Job went through it. We can go through it. Because the same spirit that was revealed to Job is the same Holy Spirit that is revealed to us today. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You see, look, in Ecclesiastes 3 through 11, it says this. It says, He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God has done from the beginning to the end. You see, we cannot understand the whole enchilada. We cannot understand the beginning and the end, right? Am I right? We cannot begin to understand and fathom the work of God. But He has put eternity on our hearts, and we know that God is not a liar, that there is something else beyond these years that we have on this earth. There is other things. And it's so sad because people are living just for the moment. And it's this moment that will one day bring them eternal separation from all they knew of God. Living on this earth as a Christian is as close as you'll ever get to hell. And living on this earth as an unbeliever is as close as you'll ever get to heaven. There's a little bit of both so that we can decide heaven or hell. As Jesus was on the cross, on the left and the right, one who rejected and one who accepted him. We have to choose. God has revealed this to us. We have to choose him or reject him. And there will be a great number of people who will reject him. Sadly, there are people that are in the church that heard the truth, that knew the truth. And we cannot let this discourage us. 5,000 may fall to my left, 10,000 may fall to my right, but what will the Lord do for you? He'll sustain you. Because you see, your walk is your walk. You're called to encourage others, but your walk is your walk. And that's what Joshua said. Joshua said, many of you are going to go and worship false idols. Read it. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You have to have a resolve of your house, husband, wife, single families, whatever it is. You must have a resolve that Jesus will be the leader of your tribe. He will be the one who's the center of attention in your house. Because without Christ, nothing can last. Nothing. If Jesus Christ is not in the center of all things, it will fail. I promise you. Matthew 25:46 says this. Jesus says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Again, there's two things. There's eternal life and there's eternal damnation. And we must choose. And Jesus says it's very clear. There's eternal punishment and there's eternal life. And so many people live in this world today not realizing of what is to come. Eternity. Eternity. Look, we're born into this world. And we're raised. We're not picked what family we're born into. We're not picked what nation we're born into. We're not picked what religion we're born into. What race. None of those things. We don't choose none of those things. But we can choose our final destination. And so, no matter what has happened in our past life, and even so now, if we die to it, if we become dead to that, so that we could be alive to Jesus Christ, then we will know what eternal life really is. And not only that, but we're going to learn how to live for eternity. Because one day we will have eternal separation from death, from pain, from misery. And so no greater thing it is than for the believer of Jesus Christ today to live on this earth and to begin to train themselves by faith through the Spirit of God, that though, yes, we will go through this pain and misery, but we're not going to lose our joy and we're not going to be uprooted from the Church of Christ because we know what is to come. Eternal separation from those things. And so we begin to train ourselves not only to live in the holiness of God and the righteousness of God, but we begin to learn to live in the hope of eternity. And so therefore, the things that you would have done as a sinner, you won't do because you live in hope of eternity. That's eternal life now. Because now the decisions you make are based on the promises of God. They're based on the written word of God. That we are not going to go into everlasting punishment, but because of righteousness, because of Jesus in our life, we will go to eternal life. That brings me joy. That brings me peace of mind. That gives me more and more strength every day to say no to the devil, to say no to my own flesh that will not die until this body dies. In Revelation 20:10, it says, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The devil, the false prophet, the Antichrist, They will be done away with in the lake of fire forever and ever. Eternal damnation. Look, Revelation 20, 14 through 15. Then death and Hades, meaning the grave, hell, they were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name written in the book of life? Have you repented of your sin? Have you turned to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin? Are you living in light of eternity? Are you living in hope of eternity? Amen. Because if you are, your name is in the Lamb's book of life. And when this great white throne judgment of God comes, this is not you. This is those who chose to live in their own foolishness, in their own selfishness, and in their own wisdom, in their own strength. More and more young people are disobeying their parents because they're disobeying God. I've noticed that such a rebellious heart is so strong today in this generation. But it's always been there. And God knows that, and God is patient, and God, He died to set the captives free. Look, Hebrews 9, 26 through 28. Let me read this to you. Look, the writer says, if that had been necessary, Christ was had to die again and again and again. And ever since the world began, but now once for all time, Jesus has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by His own death as a sacrifice. You see, we are at the end of the age. We are at the end of an age. In man's understanding, the end of this age has been 2,000 years. We are so close of this world entering into another age, the age of tribulation. We're so close. We're so close. Verse 27. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. And He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for Him. Are you living in hope of eternity? It's because you're waiting for Him. You're looking for Him. You're looking for Jesus. You're looking for salvation that will only come from Him one day in the rapture of the church when He calls the believers up all to meet Him in the clouds of the air. This is our hope. We don't look down at the ground and live our life in defeat, Christian. Though we go through the fire, and though we may become spiritually maimed, and though we may be crucified, spiritually speaking, we may go through such trials and tribulations, but we will not lose the joy of our salvation. We will not lose the hope of eternity, because our hope was always embedded in Christ, in Christ alone. And that is why you can still fulfill your ministries. That is why you can still do what God has called you to do. Because though you saw all things happening in the world, you kept your eyes on Jesus. And there is a great reward for that. Because Peter, all he had to do was to keep his eyes on Jesus, and he could have lived in the supernatural of God. But because he looked to the left and to the right, he began to sink in the water. We are on that water today, and there are many people who are sinking, many who are called. Peter said, Jesus, call me out so I too can walk on the water. The Lord has called many people out by name. He has anointed them. He's called them to get out of the boat to walk in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called them, and they got out of the boat. They had the faith to get out of the boat, and they began to walk on the water. They began to take part in the ministry of the Lord, but then many of them have sunk. Many of them have gone to the depths of the ocean like Jonah did. In Jonah chapter 2, Jonah cried out and said, Lord, I was swallowed in the belly of the whale, and it took me down to the depths of the pit where he heard the chains rattling. He said he was dead. Read Jonah chapter 2. Jonah had died. He went to the very pits of hell in the belly of the well. He says, but you called me out. You see, Jonah too had been called by God. But see, even Jonah, they threw him overboard. It's very symbolic of what Peter did too. He went out of the into the water to walk on that water. And we're meant to do things that the world cannot understand. But if we lose faith, and Jesus told Peter, why did you doubt? If you lose faith, you'll sink. And like Jonah, it was the pits of hell where he found himself. It says the death of seaweed was wrapped around him. And nobody thinks that once saved, always saved. Oh, no, God will always forgive me. Look, I'm telling you, there is such a thing where people walk away from God. And I pray that's nobody that I know. But the devil is alive. The devil is real. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that is why so much of the churches are hurting today. I've talked with a pastor this week who said that he once knew of a church last year, 800 people, today 150 people. So many other churches that are happening like that. I heard of another pastor who told me something so ironic where they said, look at how many people are here. And now they're like hardly anybody in the church today. Pews are empty. Look at Grace. Look around you, Grace Christian Center. The pews are empty. So many people are going to and fro here and there. So many people are being shot with the flaming arrows of the enemy, with the flaming arrow of busyness, the flaming arrow of distraction, the flaming arrow of all, you name it. Why do I come to church? Because I love Jesus. And Jesus loves the people. And Jesus brings the people for such a time as this to gather encouragement, to gather in hope, to gather in the love of Christ. There is power in the church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means when we come together, we are the church. But if you do it out there by yourself, you're putting yourself in the pasture of the sheep's pen. You're putting yourself in a corner to isolate yourself from the wolf. And what happens to that sheep that is in the corner pasture of that pen by themselves and the wolf shows up? We're not designed to do this alone. We are designed to do this together. Ecclesiastes, it says, one strand could easily be broken. Two strands, not easily broken. Three strands will not be broken. The book of Ecclesiastes. Jesus says, where two or three are, there I am. But yet I have seen in the past years more and more people walking away from church fellowship, walking away from their anointing. They were called out of the boat to serve, and they've walked away from their anointing because this happened, and that happened, and this happened. And we should be living in the hope of eternity. We are called to serve. I believe everyone that's in this church should be in some form of ministry or another, should be involved in helping. John 3:16 through 18 says this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, Peter kept going back and forth. He kept failing God and then pleasing God and failing God. Peter was always a man of doubt, a man who lacked faith. Jesus told them many times, why did you doubt? And faith cannot please God. Without faith, it is impossible, what? Finish it. To please God. Without faith, we cannot reach eternity. Without faith in the Lord, we cannot have salvation. It's all by faith. That's just the elementary thing of Christianity. By faith we serve. By faith we succeed. By faith we crucify the flesh. By faith we please God. By faith we destroy the works of the devil. By faith. 1 Timothy 6:11 through 12 says this. Paul says to Timothy, "But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness." Look, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were called, and that you have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. That's all what I've been saying these past 30 minutes. Fighting the good fight of faith and holding on to eternal life. We were called in the presence of many people. And let us not be uprooted. Let us not be scattered to the four corners of the earth. John 3:36, my last scripture says this. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Or other translations say, the wrath of God remains on him. I want you to ask yourself a question and give yourself a good, honest answer. Do you believe the wrath of God is on you today? It shouldn't be if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you should have a clear conscience before the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that the Lord is leading you and that you're following in faith and in obedience to Him. You have a life of love, of godliness, of patience and gentleness. You're not perfect. Oh, but they definitely see these things in your life. It's eternal separation that must get our attention today. One day for the unbeliever, they will be eternally separated from all that is of God. And one day for the Christian, we will be eternally separated from all that we have seen in this world. Praise God. And again, as I close, my heart is burdened because I see the devil alive and well and at work in the lives of so many people today, and I mean Christians. People who have once confessed Christ, they're being attacked, they're being overrun, they're being overempowered by the plans and the attacks of Satan. But the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And so as a Christians, we must be directed by the love of Jesus in all that we do and all that we say. We must be. And this is not easy. Because sometimes you try and struggle with the reality of what you're facing. But understand, like Peter, his reality was to either trust Jesus or to look to the left and to the right. And this is our dilemma today. Who will we believe? Who will we trust? The waves, they're very loud. They're very distracting. They'll grab your attention. The waves of this world have a really good way. They've been working since the days of Adam and Eve to pounce on your hopes and your fear and your dreams and your goals and everything. But of all of what we are is embedded in Christ, those waves have no chance. Train yourself to listen to the Holy Spirit. Train yourself to be a student of the written Word of God. Learn the Bible. Apply the Bible. And more importantly, don't neglect Christian fellowship. The church was strong back in the day. because they met all the time. And the reason why so many of us are weak and sick is because we think meeting just on Sundays is good enough. And that's why you don't see the glory of God anymore. That's why you haven't led anybody to the cross of Jesus. Because one day is good enough for you. But you know what? It's not good enough for God. Because you see, it's not what Christianity is about. It's about encouraging each other, serving each other, being with each other. You know, as for my wife and I, we're not getting any younger. And this school takes a lot out of us. But we know that what God has us doing there is to sow the seed into their hearts. And then from that, what we do here with this church. You know, it's like every single day at night, my wife and I, we sit down and we're exhausted physically. But spiritually, I know it's so worth it. And I'm not telling you this to say woe to Pastor and his wife. No. Because there are so many pastors, thousands upon thousands, that have paid such way greater, a higher price than what we are paying. But as believers, we all have to pay a price. It's going to cost you. And so, follow me as I follow Christ. That's what Paul said. That's what every leader should be able to say with a clear conscience. Follow me as I follow Christ. Well, Moses, he believes that God can part that sea. Moses believes that. Aaron said, come on, Marion. Let's go up beside our brother. His arms are getting tired. You hold up the left, I hold up the right. Because as long as Moses' arms are up, that sea is going to stay open for this great number of Hebrews to pass through. Paul, follow you? You once used to kill Christians. But I remember Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit. Look at all the good that Paul has been doing. You know what? I'm going to listen to a Paul. I'm going to follow Jesus, but I'm going to listen to Paul. Even that devil knows Paul. And that devil pounced out of that man and beat those sons of Sceva to a bloody pulp. Those devils must hate Paul. Those online, it's time for you to go to church. It's time for you to serve in ministry. I'm glad you watch online, but you know what? There's much work to be done in the Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Get up and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Receive that word in Jesus' name.